Jeremiah, the first chapter, and when you read verses 4 and 10, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Oh, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I'm only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." When we read the book of Jeremiah and we see what Jeremiah had to go through, we see the difficulties that he had. We see the disappointments he had. We saw that he could find the frustration. We find when he almost felt like giving up. And yet we read this at the beginning, that God knew him before he was born. God had formed him. God had a purpose in his life. And I would say that anyone who has come to biblical to study, if you have truly received Christ as your Savior, if you have looked to him for salvation and been born again through his precious blood, then you can say that this which Jeremiah applied to himself also applies to you. God knew you before you were born. That God knew you far back in eternity. That God has a plan for your life. And that you are very important in God's sight. And therefore, I'd like to think a little bit about that this morning. God has a plan for each of us. God has a purpose in our life. His purpose is a purpose for our development. And it is a purpose for our service. He has work he wants to do in us, and he has work he wants to do through us. Now, in some ways, the first is much the most important of them. Paul said that he prayed that the Lord would not allow him to fall aside and have him preach to others to become a castaway. Now, we know that was impossible in Paul's case. But yet Paul had to know that he was saved close to the Lord, that he was not drifting away. It is very important for each of us that we keep our eyes on the Lord. And that we work together with him, that he may do the work that he desires to do both in us and through us. When I was a college student, I was very much impressed once by a man from Vanderbilt University who came and spoke in our church. I was impressed particularly by his first sentence or two. I don't remember anything else he said, but I had a great impression on my mind to figure to you. He said, "You can think of the world as a great flywheel, 50 miles across, going round and round in 100,000 revolutions a second. And that thing swirls around and around within the complexions, within the fundus energy, within the fundus activity, within the many changes." He said, "It is like the universe." And he said, "A man is like a fly that is on the edge of the flywheel. It goes round and round." And he said, "The fly thinks that the flywheel was made for him." Well, I thought it was a very good and interesting thing to show the small of Egypt in comparison to the tremendous variety of this universe. We can't understand it all. There's a tremendous amount of it we'll never understand. But we can know this, that God foreknew each one of us who truly have believed in Christ. If we put our faith in him for salvation, he foreknew each of us from eternity. And he has a plan for each life. And he has an interest in each life. He wants to use us, He wants to develop us, He wants to notice us. Oh, how common it is among human beings to get all excited because you're better than someone else. Or you get terribly frustrated because someone else is a little better than you. And it's built in to the natural human being to feel terribly frustrated or terribly excited over your relations to others. Now, I think God wants us not to think like that in relation to others. In relation to Him. He wants us to realize that He is interested in the person that He foreknew us from before the foundation of the world, and that He has a purpose for us. Now we look at someone else and we say, oh, He is very sanctified. Look at that self. And then we look at another and we say, oh, if only I could reach His brother. How can I ever get to be as good as He is? Actually, I think if you would say that absolute uselessness will stay on a level of the floor here, and that the level that God wants us to have is, say, up at the ceiling there, between the top of the platform and the ceiling there, would be the range of all people in sanctification. I would say that each of us is probably around here. And we come to this point where we have a long, long way to go. And God doesn't want us comparing our progress with other people. He wants us comparing it with His standards. And He wants us to realize that no matter how far we fall short, He is vital and definitely interested in each one of us. And He is there at every moment to take an interest and help and lead. And if it's the best we can do, things turn out just the opposite of what He expects. We can know that God has a purpose in it. And it may be that in the end we can look back and say, praise God, it didn't come on the way I wanted. Because of the way God wanted is much better. God has a purpose for the development of each one of us. He desires to bring us to His standard of sanctification, but it's a long, slow process. And our progress is often difficult. And God may want to put each one of us through the fires of adversity, through the fires of misery. We don't know what His plan is for each of us. We don't know. But we know that if we truly believe in Christ, His hand is on us, He is leading, He is directing, He knows where He wants to bring us out. And we can trust in Him. And we can sleep in peace with our eyes set on Him. Because we know that the direction is far safer than anything we can plan in His hands. So now God is interested in each one of us. He has foreordained His purposes for the development He wants in us. But also, God has purposes through us. There's a story I once heard, an imaginary story, according to which when Jesus went up to heaven, the angel Gabriel said to him, he said, why did you come back up here? There are millions of people there that have never heard of God. There are millions that don't know anything about the truth. Why didn't you stay and go on and on and on and preach to more and more people? And then somebody figured out that if Jesus had gone into China and gone to a village, and then the priest one day, the next day to another, the next day to another, and gone on that way through the village of China, just spent one day in India preaching the gospel there, he would not yet have come to the last village. And so for him to have stayed in an earthly body and gone about preaching would have been a process that would have reached considerably too deep. But on the other hand, supposing that Jesus had left only one Christian in the world, and suppose that that person, the first year, led one other person to the Lord, and then after 1 year, with one convert to show, if those two had led each of them, led another one to the Lord the next year, and then if those four the next year had led another one, this that goes on. Just each one leading one to the Lord each year. Today, if this happens, able to know, today every man, woman, and child comes with a promise to the Lord. I tell you, it's a reveal to us that God has left the gospel in our hands to present to the world. And these posters tell us that they have taken these polls of people as to what they think that more than 95% of the people in the United States think that they believe that there is a God. More than 95%. And yet, in their actions, we can say that at least 70% of them act as if there were no God. And what are we who know the true God doing? That the gospel is not more widely accepted in the United States than it is today. Our whole culture is being shot through with unbelief, shot through with that which would not even have been mentioned, say, 50 years ago, except in whispers, perhaps. And today is good. Yelled out over the housetop, references to things that no decent person would have had mentioned to us, even a few years ago. The devil seems to be gaining. And if God's people were on the job as He wants them to be, if our eyes were on the Lord as He wants them to be, He can know that through us He would work, that He would reach our, we would reach our nation for Him, and we would become what He wants to come. And really, it's sad the way that we have failed the Lord. But God wants us to first to realize. And man is weak. Man is weak. Man falls very easily. But God is supreme. God is powerful. The trouble is not that we're not working out, putting up methods. We're not setting up things in a better way. The problem is that we are not knowing the Creator of our Jesus. We are not living in His presence as we should. We are not realizing that each one of us, if we have truly received Christ as our Savior, He has a purpose for us that is important as anything in His universe. And there's no reason we should ever get enslaved to it because the power is of God. But there's no reason we should get down to it because it is not up to us. It's His fault that it works in us. God wants us to realize, each one, that He has a purpose for that life. And you may not be able to see that purpose, but God has a purpose. The only way we can learn God's will for us is through the Word of God. Ordinarily, He does not give us direct guidance. But He desires us to study His infallible Word and to learn from it what His purposes are and plans, and to look at His Spirit to teach us how to carry out those purposes. The Word of God must be at the center of our lives. If we are, if God is to work in us what He wants to, and if God is going to work through us on what He wants as He works for His purpose. God said to Jeremiah that He knew him before he was born. And each one of us can say, if we truly have believed in Christ, He knew us before we were born. He has a purpose for our lives. There is no reason we should become discouraged if we keep our eyes on Him. There is no reason we should become elated or proud because it is He who is working in us. But He wants us to put forth our energy. He wants us to act. He wants us to think. He wants us to study how to utilize the ability that He has given us in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and in order to accomplish the purposes that He has for our life. It was quite a few years ago. I'm probably the only one here to remember the time by the great rule of the government, it is from 1918. I remember that on 74 after, thousands of people died. And different from most epidemics, many doctors and nurses died during that great epidemic. In connection with it, later on, I heard a reference factually that told me of a way that God had worked, a remarkable way. It was a minister who was in his first charge, and in that charge, a year before the epidemic came, he had been there a little over a year, he was getting well established in the work. His wife died in the house, and he had a little girl at 3 months. His wife was there, and his heart was filled with it. And he said, "Oh, God, why did you let such a thing happen?" He said, "You know I'm trying to devote my life to serving you. And why would you have something like this come into my life?" He tended for a little to become this one who has God forgotten me? Has God turned away from me altogether? And then he said, "No, I don't understand what God has purpose. God has led me into his word. God has a purpose for me. Truly, I don't know what, how he would have loved me in my life. But he said, I know that what he done is bad." And it was just a few months later when that terrible truth of the day came. And person after person in his congregation had experiences similar to what he had had. And he said that he knew what they had gone through. And he said the touch of his hand and the sound of his voice brought comfort to those people that no one possibly could have gone who had not gone through a similar experience. And so he could look back and he could see what had happened. And he could see that no matter how dark things had seemed, God had been leading and God had been putting him through the fire in order to mold him, make him such that God could truly use him. We can know that God has a purpose in everything that comes into our life. Now, of course, we often step aside from the purpose. We often wonder forward in our own wisdom. Instead of studying the Word, getting His principles, praying to Him to lead, stepping forward as He leads, we wonder aside to the left or to the right. And God, in His mercy, usually straightens in God. But when that comes into our lives, that is not our fault. It comes in from outside, we don't understand it. God is leading. God has a purpose, and we can rest it. We do not need to be all upset and disturbed as we believe we become if we truly are living in the presence of the One who foreordained everything in our life for all eternity. God said to Jeremiah, "I made you a prophet over the nation, and you can build and you can tear down." God, it is calling us to be a prophet to the nation. God is calling each of us to step out, and who knows which one of us here is to rise our truth on the Lord. May He use the gift ways that only eternity will enable us to know. He wants us to fill our minds with His Word that we can truly express it. Now, I was much impressed some years ago to read a book called When Iron Meets Steel. It was written by an English missionary who, about, I guess, 30 years ago now, or 40, he was a missionary to Tibet. And he was there in Tibet, trying to establish Christian work there and make a good start. And then the communist army came flooding in there from China. And he was seized. And he was put in prison. And he was in prison there for 2 or 3 months with no further attention paid to him. time he read his Bible, he was practically alone. He read his Bible through, he meditated on it. He sucked more and more of peace into his mind, though he was already very familiar with the Word of God. And then, the time came when they were ready to deal with his system. So they took his Bible away from him. And for 3 years, he did not have access to his Bible. 3 years in which he was submitted to hearing communist propaganda constantly. 3 years of largely being shut off, unless he was with a group of people trying to be killed. He kept his mind on the Word of God, and he said, "Oh, thank the Lord, so much of the Word of God is in my mind, because I have no access to it except what I have in my mind." And then after 3 years, he was a British subject, and after 3 years, he was informed that he was to be released, sent back to Britain, and they gave him his life back. Suppose he was cut off altogether from access to the Word of God. How much of it is in your mind? How much of it is planted there? How much have you memorized? How much is there in such a way that you can heed the point, that you can lead your steps quiet, that you can, that it can help you to keep your eyes upon the Lord? Oh, how important that we get the Word of God in our mind, in our heart, and that we learn to let it work itself out through us, as God works in us, and God works through us. Let's pray. Oh, God, our Father, we know that your Word is true. We know that David was speaking truth when he said that all his members would know the Lord before he was ever born of the truth. We know that you can do all things, and that you do all things for the good of those that love the Lord. Oh, our Father, we pray that you would hold us each one close to our spirit, that you would help us to plant your Word in our minds and in our hearts, to study it, to meditate it, to learn the truth in it, that we need to grow. Help us, our God, never to get over excited with our progress, because we know there's Jesus working on us. Help us never to get discouraged and feel like we don't know how you're going to lead one. We may lead one in the so-called full-time Christian service, we may lead another in the secular work. But the one in secular work often witnesses more to the Lord than the one in Christian service. Leads more souls to God as our community center of the Lord. Oh, how let us keep our eyes and we need each other. But above all, whatever we do, we may know your Word, take it deep in our heart, and follow it. And that Jesus Christ may so live in us that when people see us, they will know we live in peace. We ask it in Him. Amen.